The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said, "Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever does not enter a sheepfold through the gate, but climbs over elsewhere, is a thief and a robber. But whoever enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens it for him, and the sheep hear his voice, as the shepherd calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has driven out all his own, he walks ahead of them, and the sheep follow him, because they recognize his voice. But they will not follow a stranger. They will run away from him, because they do not recognize the voice of the stranger." Although Jesus used this figure of speech, the Pharisees did not realize what he was trying to tell them. So Jesus said again, "Amen, amen, I say to you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved, and will come in and go out and find pasture. A thief comes only to steal and slaughter and destroy. I came so that they might have life and have it more abundantly." The Gospel of the Lord. Today's readings, responsorial psalm, and gospel proclamation have within them a theme of the Good Shepherd. In our first reading from the Acts of the Apostles, the shepherd is Peter and the other apostles, guiding their flock, the people of Israel, to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Next, we heard the beautiful words of one of the most famous prayers of the Bible, the 23rd Psalm. "The Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I shall want." A deeply personal prayer of thanksgiving for Christ's guidance and the bounty he gives us. Then in the first letter of St. Peter, we again hear the analogy of Christ as the shepherd, who through his suffering and example has guided us, the sheep who have gone astray, back to himself, the shepherd. Finally, in the proclamation from the Gospel of John, Jesus tells us that he is the gate for the sheep, and whoever enters through the gate, Jesus Christ, will be saved. He tells us that he will open the gate and call his own sheep by name to follow him. Jesus is the shepherd who leads us to God, the Father, but he does not act alone. As mentioned in our first reading, we hear of Peter and the apostles in the role of shepherd, guiding the people of Israel to baptism. Peter and the apostles, as the first bishops of the church, then handed down this apostolic authority to others who were deemed worthy by praying and laying hands upon them and ordaining them as bishops, priests, and deacons to spread the word of God. So it has been over the centuries, for nearly two millennium, bishops with the authority of the church have prayed and laid hands to ordain the bishops, priests, and deacons who would continue to spread the word of God and to sustain the church that Christ Jesus brought to us. I was privileged this past August to have been present in the Cathedral of the Immaculate Conception in Syracuse when Archbishop Dolan prayed and laid hands on the head of Father Douglas Lucia and ordained him as the bishop of our diocese. It gives me chills to think that Cardinal Dolan, who laid hands on Douglas Lucia and ordained him as bishop, had in turn been ordained by a bishop who prayed and laid hands on him, who had been ordained by a bishop who prayed and laid hands on him, back in an unbroken chain to St. Peter and the apostles. And the same is true of priests and deacons. This is what's known as apostolic succession, that every bishop, priest, and deacon was ordained by a bishop, who was ordained by a bishop, who was ordained by a bishop, all the way back to the time of Christ, when Jesus gave that authority to Peter, our first pope. Priests do many things for us. They provide comfort and guidance. They spread the word of God, as did the apostles. But most important, when a priest is ordained through apostolic succession, he truly possesses the authority to act in persona Christi, to act in the power and the place of Christ himself. And it is through this authority to act in the person of Christ, an authority handed down in direct succession for Peter and the apostles, that a priest can absolve us of our sins, consecrate the Eucharist, so that we, the faithful, may partake in the Eucharist in the body and blood of Jesus here at Mass. This is why we need priests and why it is so important that we promote vocations to the priesthood here in our churches and in our diocese. Today, this fourth Sunday of Easter, is the World Day of Prayer for Vocations. Pope Francis, in his address for this World Day of Prayer, has said, "Dear friends, on this day in particular, but also in the ordinary pastoral life of our communities, I ask the Church to continue to promote vocations. May she touch the heart of the faithful and enable each of them to discover with gratitude God's call in their lives, to find courage to say yes to God, to overcome all weariness through faith in Christ, and to make of their lives a song of praise for God, for their brothers and sisters, and for the whole world. May the Virgin Mary accompany us and intercede for us." I also want to ask you personally to pray for vocations to the priesthood in the Diocese of Syracuse and all over the world. Of all the ways we can work towards the increase of vocations to the priesthood, prayer is undoubtedly the most essential. Make a commitment to pray for this intention, not just today, but every day. But I want you to do more. Here are just a few practical things that each of us can do to promote vocations right here in our own cities, towns, and villages. This list came from the Diocese of Detroit, but the USCCB and many other dioceses have similar lists. First, identify gifts, not just in yourself, but in family members, friends, acquaintances, co-workers. Just about anyone you meet may have a special gift they can use to help the church. This does not mean everyone should run out and try to become priests, but we all have things we can do to help, to contribute, and maybe, just maybe, someone you talk to does have that gift to discern for the priesthood. And maybe your telling them that will spark the beginning of that journey. Second, attend Mass regularly. The celebration of the Eucharist is a fundamental aspect of our faith. Gathering around the Lord's table will serve to strengthen the bond in our own families and the bond of the parish family. It is a strong parish family that produces priestly vocations. Third, participate in parish activities. A healthy parish community includes the participation of all its members. The involvement of your family in the activities offered in your parish will help increase the life-giving environment necessary for the nurturing of priestly vocations. Fourth, tell stories of priests to people you know or meet. Recall the times in your lives when a priest showed kindness to you and helped make a positive difference. Talk about what these men mean to you and the service they offer to God's people, the church. Maybe someone listening will think, "Hey, I want to be like that and make a positive impact on the lives of others." Fifth, perform acts of charity. In the Gospels, Jesus directs us to love our neighbors, and he calls us to serve one another. There are various ways we can behave charitably and serve the Lord gladly. Look into ways that your family can generously meet the needs of your neighbors. A charitable heart is a hallmark of priestly vocations. Sixth, remember that vocations begin at home. Parents are the first preachers of the faith to their children, and home is where early formation occurs. Create a climate within your home that will foster and encourage all members of your family to live out the vocation that God has planned for them. So on this Good Shepherd Sunday, please pray with us, with the church, with Pope Francis, for an increase in vocations to the priesthood, diaconate, and consecrated life, especially for our diocese. Pray also for the physical and spiritual well-being of our priests and seminarians in these difficult times for the church and the world. And pray that God will continue to raise up good shepherds in our midst.